Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I love that idea of taking it, even if you got a national company or international company, but then localizing all of that's very smart. Great. Any other tools that you guys use or recommend that you think are worth checking out right now or have been especially impactful?
Let's see. I'm loving SocialAdder. So we do so much manually, actually, with our company. We write it all, and we post it all. I don't mind LinkBoss if you're doing some a little more gray, especially to feeder sites. I don't know if I would necessarily connect it to your main sites, but I'm really liking LinkBoss for ranking my sub-sites and my feeder sites. Obviously, Dory Friend's SEO Nitro, she has a phenomenal domain network that I think is really great. For SEO, getting backlinks from relevant websites. And I'm also a huge fan of, for high quality posting, you can do guest content at authority. Almost all of these authority sites accept guest content. That's a way, if you can get a guest piece put on an authority or a celebrity blog or website in your market, that's like server crashing, targeted people coming right to your site, right? That's definitely a great strategy.
Okay, great. All right, do you want to talk about, I mean, do we talk about linking or do you want to talk about outsourcing?
So let's talk about outsourcing. I think
Okay, yeah, so I
outsourcing is
think.
something that people really are interested in knowing
Yeah,
how
and
to
I mean,
do.
you got, 300 team members that you're keeping track of there. I guess let's, I've talked to a lot of people about outsourcing and I've done a fair amount of it with mixed success. For me, it's always come down to I feel like I'm babysitting, or I feel like, I don't know exactly what to ask for. Like if it's something that's out of my sort of knowledge range, like if I'm, I don't know, I can get somebody to build me, let's just pick something out of the hat, like an iPhone app or something like that, which, I don't know what I want done exactly, but I know kind of sort of how I want it to look. So, how do I figure out who's got the real goods versus, who's sort of just going to put some crap together for me? And so I've had definitely some mixed bag results, especially with tech related stuff. But so give us your, I guess, some guidelines there for outsourcing. Then we'll get into some maybe the nitty gritty or project management stuff or different things.
Sure. So when it comes to attracting and finding talent, I think that that's always something that people struggle with, especially I think it's more complicated when you're on the coding side of things as opposed to if you're looking for writers or backlinking type things. I think it's more, people seem to have a more chronic problem on the tech side.
Okay,
And
so
what we...
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so
That's
you guys
not...
really just outsource mostly around the writing content pieces, not any of the
Yeah,
tech stuff right now.
Right, so my company more runs around organic marketing and writing, et cetera, but I've had a fair amount of experience outsourcing the tech side for my own company. I have a company with Ben Roy called Your Local Edge where all we do is promote local businesses for local consultants, and so we have thousands of domains, and that takes a lot of coding and upkeep, and we've had to really go through coder after coder to really find that help. And at one point, we had a full team at Content Divas that did website design, and I decided to just take that out of my business because it really is so complicated. But it's interesting. I've found some things that can help minimize your risk of failure and help you get what you're trying to get out of the project. Some tips that can really help with that. And when it comes to attracting talent, this is probably going to surprise a lot of people that I'm saying this, but I have found, and I actually picked this up from Vishen Lakhiani, and I took it to heart and really tested it out and definitely found it to be true, is when I'm looking for talent, my ads, whether it's in Odesk or Elance or wherever Craigslist, wherever I'm going to post what I'm looking for, I focus more on what I'm looking for in the person that I do in their tech skills. Because everybody who applies to make an iPhone app, let's say, is going to have some sort of skill in making iPhone apps, or they're going to be, so you obviously have to assess that through the interviewing portion. But I've really gone to, you know, this is the kind of company, this is the kind of personality we're looking for, this is the environment that we use, we want to work, these are the hours that we put in, and sort of really put out that high level, higher level environment and personality request, because what that tends to do is scare off the people who maybe aren't at that level.
And this is even for, Shelby, this is even for like short-term kind of projects, like project-by-project basis?
Yep, project-by-project basis.
Interesting.
Yep, absolutely. We were kind of skeptical when we tried it too, but it definitely,
I like that.
Definitely upped the type of people that we were interviewing, because what it did is it scared off the people that weren't at that level, and then the people that were really high level and were sick of doing, you know, things that weren't as exciting, they really stepped up and wanted to apply for those jobs and really wanted to, you know, we ended up sort of with a little bit of a refiner's fire. So obviously in the interviewing process, we still had to see where their level at was at, technically speaking, et cetera, but I won't ever advertise for outsourcers any other way in the future. It's definitely changed the type of people, the pool that I get to choose from.
Do you have an ad handy that you could pull up as we're talking? So I'd love to have you read part of it.
I don't. But you know what? That's something I could get to you to put in. This is going to be written, right?
Yeah, you'll have a transcript. So, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, this would be great. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I hired my executive assistant, same thing. I didn't really put much about the job description at all. And you know, one of my things was I want someone who rocks, someone who can consistently work inconsistent hours. Where, you know, we talked a lot about our vision, my vision, and what, you know, my company stood for, and people that I got to interview were just phenomenal people. And then once I got those people in front of me, I was able to assess, you know, what their actual skill level was, and my executive assistant is just my best hire I've ever made. And so it's just a really neat way to do things.
And do they work in-house, or is that a virtual thing, too?
My entire company... all work from home. So I would say my executive assistant is more in-house. She doesn't work for anybody else because we keep her so busy, but the entire rest of my staff, you know, a lot of them work for only us just because they choose to, but they don't have to. They outsource and have their own other clients, but a lot of people end up just not even taking other clients anymore because they really enjoy the work that they do through our company and things like that.
What's the culture that you put out there that you're, you know, when you're talking in your ads and so forth, like what kind of stuff is really big that would resonate with people?
So,
I mean, obviously it's different for every company, right? They have to figure out what their culture is individually, mm-hmm. but.
Absolutely. So for me, I talk a lot, I like high energy. I like motivated people. I like people who love what they do. You know, we talk a lot about, we have a team, we attract the highest and best talent of people who are the highest and best at what they do. They love what they do. We like to build our team from people who love what they're doing, their piece of it. You know, they can own it. And, you know, we talk a lot about how we work collectively like that. And, you know, so that tends to attract people who are more independent thinkers and want to be part of a team that's more high energy and goal-oriented and motivated instead of just, I want to get this job done and move on to the next paycheck, right? So they might have the same skill set as the person with the mindset of, this is just a job and I want to get on to the next paycheck, but they're going to be more personally invested in it. They enjoy what they're doing. They feel like they're part of a bigger puzzle, and we've gotten better results that way.
Okay.
Just the mindset makes a difference.
Cool. So let's take our scenario of maybe, I don't know, let's forget the iPhone app thing, but let's say we're hiring for a, you know, we want an SEO consultant, and, you know, mm-hmm. of course, I would recommend that people check out ContentDivas.com first.
Thank you.
But let's say that they're, maybe they want somebody that is going to work, you know,
just
for them, or they want
to,
yeah, right. I mean, there's probably a million reasons. So what do? We post up on Odesk or Elance or somewhere like that?
So I always start off, my suggestion is always start off with your immediate sphere of influence. So before I would ever go to Odesk, I would ask people that have businesses and business models that I respect who they use. Because oftentimes they'll have very good suggestions, and sometimes what's just as valuable is them saying, don't use X, Y, or Z, or don't use so-and-so, right? So like, the negative referrals can be just as time and money saving as the positive referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So I always start with my immediate sphere of influence. And then if I'm not drawing from that and I am actually going the ad route, one of the most important things, the biggest thing when hiring outsourcers is people have in their mind, they know what they want, or maybe they don't. Maybe, for instance, using the example of SEO, understanding SEO isn't the highest and best use of their time, so they want somebody that is the highest and best use of their time. They eat, sleep, and breathe SEO, but they don't necessarily know how SEO is supposed to work, so then you can't trust yourself to quality control it, right? So
right.
That's a little bit scary. You can't quality, I can't quality control a website or a software being coded out for me because I don't understand the language that they're coding in, right? So I can't
yep.
quality control that, so it's a little bit more of a scary element. So the things that I like to do is, so getting what's in your head onto your outsourcer's plate accurately is very challenging because you may not even know how to present what exactly you're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And especially working with tech people, they think completely differently than you do. So I'm a huge proponent of creating, customer stories, right? So the end user, what's their experience supposed to be? What's the end user supposed to be? What's the behind-the-scenes staff experience supposed to be? Creating those customer stories really helps.
Is that just a written thing that goes to the outsourcer?
I think they're called user experiences, technically. It's where, for instance, if I was having a software built, I would say when someone new comes to the site who's not a member, what's their experience supposed to be? If someone is a member at level A, what's their experience supposed to be? Member B, if my staff working support in the back end, what's their experience supposed to be? So this helps the coder understand, okay, these are all the different components that have to be built into this piece of software, right? So same with, the SEO world. You want to understand, what are you trying to accomplish with your website? So start with the end in mind. What are your goals? Because if you're branding your website, you have a brand new website, and ranking isn't as important as branding right now, the type of SEO you do might be different than if you're an already established company and you just really need to dominate over an aggressive competitor, right? So when I'm looking at SEO for a site, I'm looking at what are their end goals? What's the most important thing short term? And then what's the ultimate long term goal? What's their budget? And then that will determine maybe what steps we take as far as SEO, because you can accomplish different things. So I'm really big on communicating what the end goal is and also creating milestones along the way. The worst thing that can happen is for you to realize that your outsourcers are not on the same page with you at the end of the project. You've already
right.
got a month into it, you've already got a full budget into it, and no time to course correct, right? So creating milestones along the way and check-in points, not only does it safeguard you, but it provides an opportunity for your outsourcers to feel good and celebrate along the way as they accomplish these chunks instead of this big, overwhelming project, right? Breaking it down into milestones, I feel, is super important.
Who creates those milestones?
So I
you
would
or the
say
outsourcer.
You create the milestones. Unless, that exception would be if I was walking into a software, which, I've recently gotten into the world of building software, then that might be something where I would work with the outsourcer because they're going to know the coding steps that I don't. So that's why sometimes you're going to have to be able to collaborate with them and work with them to create those. Sometimes if you know the scope of the project, you can create it in advance, but I would definitely never outsource again without having milestones set up to safeguard myself, to increase the success of the outsourcer, and just make it a better project overall.
And where do those... What do you recommend for like a project management software or keeping milestones or anything like that?
So I really love Basecamp. There is a ton of different project management platforms out there now. I've been using Basecamp for, 4 or 5 years. They have a brilliant marketing strategy because at this point, even if I found a platform that was better, I've got so many thousands of documents uploaded in Basecamp that I'll be paying them a monthly fee for the rest of my life because it's so much work to pull all that documentation down and transfer it. So they have a brilliant model. But there's a lot of different ones. There's one called Teamwork that I'm trying out right now on a different company project that we're doing. But I've been using Basecamp for years. Also, frankly, Google Docs is pretty phenomenal. I've gone to, I've kind of created my own internal system using Google Docs that I work with my internal staff on, from everything from timekeeping to tracking, content management to updating where projects are at. I'm really a huge fan of Google Docs.
So how does that work in tandem with Basecamp?
So with Basecamp, what I like about Basecamp is when our clients come on, they can have their own tickets. All of anything associated with their project that they have running through our company, including all the hands that ever touch it, whether it's a backlinking team or a video team or writers and editors and virtual assistants, they can all communicate in one place, upload every document in one place. And the other thing I like about the communication chain is if you post a message, it routes to the email of everyone that's on that message, and you can just respond to that email, and then it goes to email, but it also posts in Basecamp. So you never have to do that thing where you're digging through your inbox trying to find that one email that had those instructions and that document attached to it. You know what I mean? You never have to play that game because it's always on the ticket in one place, which, if you're doing a complicated, organic, marketing campaign over several months, there can be a lot of moving pieces in that. And so I really am a fan of Basecamp.
And what about... But you can keep documents inside Basecamp, and maybe I'm getting too technical on here, but we're, we also struggle with this. We have Basecamp, and we're looking at some other project management stuff, and we also try and use Google Docs, but I don't think we're optimizing either one of them. Since documents can live inside Basecamp, why would you also have Google Docs, or how would you balance the two?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because we've used Basecamp for years and years and years. We've moved to using Google Docs for some projects because it makes sense. So the thing I liked about Google Docs is I could give all 200 writers access to a spreadsheet. I can put projects on there. They could just put their name on them, grab them, and then upload the Google Doc and put the link on the spreadsheet. And so then on one spreadsheet, I could have 200 links that open to live documents. I like that aspect. I like the convenience. I don't have to download in between. So we still
Got
our
it.
Main base of operation is out of Basecamp, but there are some conveniences with Google Docs. That being said, I guess if you're thinking security-minded, probably things are less secure on Google Docs than they would be inside Basecamp. But
okay, got it.
So as we're
outsourcing, do you think we need some sort of project management software or tool, or is that helpful?
So any outsourcing, no matter how big or how small, needs to be project managed. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make, and this is something I've been saying for years, people think of outsourcing as the silver bullet that's going to skyrocket their success to the moon, and it will. Successfully outsourcing completely changes your scalability. 100%. But when you first start outsourcing, it is an expense. It's an expense of your time, and it's an expense of your money, and it's your job as a business owner to turn that expense into a long-term asset. And it doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen instantly. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, because people are like, I'm going to go on Odesk, I'm going to get a great person, I'm going to give them my project specs, and then I'm going to have million-dollar software running with clients flocking to it. And I wish that were the case, but the truth is, you're going to go on Odesk, you're probably going to go through a couple of different people before you find the one that really works, and you have to put the time into teaching them how to work for you, how to work for your project. You have to be able to manage that. And then what you're doing, if you're doing it properly, is you're creating a resource that you can return to long-term that knows how you operate, that knows the type of work you're looking for, you're familiar with them, and once that long-term relationship is established, then that turns into an asset for you, because then you can turn on projects, bring that person in, it gets done fairly on autopilot, and things get moving, and you create a system. But that's the whole point, is you have to create that. So whether you need a software like Basecamp depends on how many moving pieces you have to track, but there's always a piece of project management that has to be in place, whether it's through Google Docs and email or through something like Basecamp. And that's really where the golden arrow. That's when you can successfully turn the expense of outsourcing into a long-term asset for yourself. That's when you're in the sweet spot that people dream about being for their business.